A very good evening to you all, faithful listeners of Eagle FM, and of course, faithful listeners of Life Lessons right here on your number one talk radio station. I welcome you yet again to another insightful topic right here on Life Lessons. Now, I'm your host, Nafa Happy Juju. You all know me now by now. And of course, we have a wonderful guest in studio with us. Did you know that November is also known as Movember? In other words, it's Men's Health Month. Quite interesting. Now, let me introduce my guest to you all. He is a medical student. He is the vice president at the Hage Geingob. Am I pronouncing it right? At the Hage Geingob campus. So, which means, already that means he's a medical student. Now, it took me a long time to figure that out. I don't know. Christoph, welcome to Life Lessons. It's a pleasure to have you in studio.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Nava, for having me. I'm honored to be here yet again. And I fail to understand how it has taken you.
I'm telling you. You know, I think just the fact that you're here, okay, Hage Geingob campus, it doesn't ring a bell, at least for some of us.
It should have, because we've spoken about this so many times.
No, I remember. But how am I supposed to, I know it's obvious, but sincerely, it's as if it just wasn't obvious.
Cool.
Anyway, Christoph, how are you doing this wonderful Saturday?
I'm well, all right. It's such a peaceful Saturday, actually. I love the weather. I've been loving the weather. It's a beautiful Saturday. And how do I possibly put this?
Yeah.
I think I'm also just really happy and glad that I'm in studio with you yet again. I think it's something that I've been wanting to do, and a topic that I've really been wanting to speak on for a while now, eh?
Yeah.
So, you know, this is a Saturday made in heaven.
You know what? I must tell you guys that Christoph is very, you know, there are people who are just born very energetic. You know, I still remember how you were hosting. What was it? It was the youth
game. The International Youth Day.
International Youth Day. Mm. I love when an MC or a speaker is very energetic. I really appreciate that. I'm coming from an event now, and this is what I've come to notice, that, you know what? You don't have to have the gift of speaking. Should I put it like that?
I hear you.
You can just polish it. We have YouTube now, you know, just polish it here and there, and then you're good to go. But I think the problem is fear, ne? I think it's fear, where people are kind of a bit skeptical and they're afraid of the audience and the whatnot. But it shouldn't be like that, man. What do you say? For somebody can wake up in the middle of the night and start
MCing. Oh my God, don't do that. I don't take my speaking as seriously as I should, I think. I think for the longest, people have also told me that, oh my God, Christoph, you should really give this a try. You should give it a chance. You actually do speak, and you know how to command a room and all of those things. Don't flatter me, guys. But
it's true. It's, you know what? I've come to realize, I know sometimes we don't want to be, the other day I was working and somebody say, you look nice. And then I realized I don't really take the compliments, and we should. Take the compliment and say, okay. And then maybe if there's some work that you need to do, then think about, okay, what do I have to do about this? Now, how can I enhance the skill? Or how can I market myself out there and make money out of the skill?
Actually, yeah. But I think it also stems from something way deeper than that, when we don't take compliments and stuff. Mm. For me, I don't necessarily take compliments, or I don't believe that's true, because I'm not actively putting in the work. Say, for example, if someone needs to walk up to me today and say, hey, Christoph, you look really good. I know this outfit was like 2 minutes, minute thing. So it's not a compliment that I expected, so it's going to be very hard for me to like take it all in and really, really appreciate this comment as it comes.
Yeah.
As with my speaking, it's not, I mean, apparently I am, but
you are.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, Yeah. I'm flattered, honestly. So thank you. I think you are the 100th person. I'm kissing my own. But thank you. Thank you so much, Ndafa.
Yeah, sure. You know, it's honestly a pleasure to have you in studio with me. I think this conversation or this discussion has been a long time coming. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You graced us on the reading news analysis, and I always, right. Right. Always appreciate your input and whatnot. Yeah. That aside, let's talk about Christoph mm-hmm. Ndengu and your passion for health. Where did it stem from? And before you get there, who is Christoph? Where did he grow up? How many siblings? Village person? Town person? Which one?
Just to put it out there, mm-hmm. listeners, Ndafa did not tell me any of this. I'm being put on the spot right now. I am awed with where this conversation is already going right now. So I'm going to.
It is well.
Welcome to finding out about Christoph, mm-hmm. knowing who Christoph is. Mm-hmm. Okay. From which village he is. Christoph is a 22-year-old born and raised on Ndangwa. I have four siblings,
okay.
all of which are males. So it's
no
it's
way.
Don't do that.
Okay,
this is a good thing.
Yeah, is it?
I would like to think. Yeah, I never took it as
you
a.
You never had a sister.
No, aww. I mean, of course, I do have. Well,
cousins yeah.
and mm-hmm. a lot of like a female presence in my life, like uncontested that is. But
so it's five of you.
It's five of us.
And how does your mom feel about that?
She's the happiest there is.
Ne?
I swear to
she
God,
wants,
she's
yeah because of it, she's all attention.
Oh, she's so happy.
Only girl in
or
the
at
house.
Least she makes it look the way.
Mm.
We will never know for sure though, but
yeah.
She comes off as very very glad, very uh-huh. happy.
Number what are you?
Number three.
Okay.
So I'm literally the Christoph in the middle.
Okay.
And that comes with its pecs and it's
yeah, middle
it's,
kids
it's
are
messy.
Probably kids.
It's messy because now you have to, you need to find a balance between, you know, trying to fit in with the other two that are older and speaking about, you know, house and,
yeah.
And growth and financials and all of those things. And then there are the kids who just really want to play and they still look at you for that. So
yeah.
I'm torn in the middle. I'm torn, which has really helped me over the years in so many other spaces that I've entered. I'm able to really just accommodate.
Yeah. Because I've been accommodating
because
the
I've
rest
been
of my life.
My whole life, I've really just accommodated.
I think one day when you talk about the middle child, you're all like a thorough discussion. Let's try and understand the middle kids. Okay.
I know a lot goes on.
Sorry.
But other than that, I did my primary school in Ndangwa before going to complete my school, my schooling mm-hmm. career. Mm-hmm. My high school, I did my high school in Gable Tapopi, that is in Ongwediva, still in the Oshana region.
Mm-hmm.
And then I applied to this campus, this
prestigious university.
Apparently so. Actually, not apparently so. Okay. A very, very prestigious
you will get,
university.
I don't want to use the word.
I'm the vice president. Please don't do those things.
Okay, let's be serious.
this very beautiful campus, you know, yes. doing a course that speaks so much about who I am and who I really want to be.
Yeah.
I think Christoph is happy, man. From what I had with what I have now,
yeah.
with what I'm going to achieve,
mm-hmm.
the work I'm putting in towards exactly just that. I think I'm happy with myself.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's me in a nutshell. Mm-hmm. I love food. I love cooking a lot. A lot. I read.
Should invite me over for lunch one day.
As a belief, man.
I'll hold you to
just,
it.
Maybe once we are even done here, we could,
I need to go home to my kids. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, man. Christoph is bubbly.
Yeah.
I'm actually not as extroverted as people would like to think. I like my space. I love spending time alone.
Yeah.
I write, like I said. I do poems. I do short, very short stories.
Really?
They're not out there and they're not going out there.
Okay.
But yeah, I also sing here and there.
Okay.
But yeah, that's Christoph.
Nice. Wait, let's What do you call it?
Let's
you know that time when you use those, because it's fast forward. Which one is
replay?
That's not the right word.
It's not back.
Back track. Okay, never mind. So, okay, let's go back a little bit.
Sure.
High school. And then while you're in high school, you applied. Did you just get in? I mean, a lot of people struggle to actually get into med school. How was it for you?
Well, I form part of a lot of people demographic. I was part of that statistic. Okay. That medical school. So we write twice, right? Okay. Our exams, that is. There's a mock exams and then there's the final exams.
Ah.
You use your mock exams to apply for whatever it is that you're applying for, to whatever institution that is.
Mm-hmm.
So I applied with my mock results. I knew very well of the admission requirements and all of that. But with my mock, there was one specific subject which I didn't meet the requirement for to be allocated space, to be admitted into the faculty.
Yeah.
I still applied nonetheless.
I like your confidence.
I applied because I knew I was not going to get in it, but I applied because I knew it was something I really wanted to do. And having applied now means that I am able to appeal for that application come year end. So I knew I needed to put in the work. I knew what I needed to do exactly for me to up those grades. So they are worthy enough, or they are good enough for admission, that is.
Yeah.
So I did just that. They rejected me with my mock results. So they referred to faculty, nothing in faculty space. I don't even remember what the word said on that portal.
Yeah.
I applied, not applied because my application was already there. So come year end, beginning of the following academic year, I went back to the campus and I said, "Hi guys, I'm back. These are my results.
Yeah.
They look way better than how they did in August of last year. So what are we doing about that?" And of course, there's a whole process again as to how they take appeals and the people they consider and all of this and all of this. And I remember it was like a very large number. It was a lot of us that appealed that year. The final list was released and we were happy. And now we are apparently the vice president of the very same campus that had rejected us. That was my journey getting into the campus.
Interesting. How's your journey so far?
Am I
considering we're just coming out of exams?
Considering we're just coming out of exams. Sure. It's okay.
Yeah.
I think when you are in something that you've been wanting to do, a space that you've been praying for, something that you are really, really passionate about and you want to see yourself through it. I mean, of course, the trials will be there, the speed bumps, it's a lot. And you are faced with so much on a daily. Every day it's something new thrown at you, and you really have to show a level of perseverance. You need to stay grounded and really just remember your why, as to why exactly are you here, and what's at stake? What happens then if you don't give it your all, give it your best? I mean, of course, everyone is going to say their course is this, their course is that. And I respect that. And sure. So it's no different from us as well. Our course is, it's hefty. It's a lot of work. It's almost unbearable. But people go through it. And just because, of course, yes, people do go through it, doesn't necessarily make it, bearable again, like I said, but staying grounded and trying to always circle back as to why exactly you are there, what's at stake, what you want to achieve. The 6 years will fly by.
Yeah, true.
So experience thus far, it's so bipolar, bruh. It's so one good day I'm lying about my life and I'm the happiest medical student there is, and the next you, it's but I love it.
Yeah,
I love it.
It's worth it. It's going to be worth it.
It's going to be worth it.
Mm-hmm. Now, where did your passion for being a doctor come from? Where did it stem from? Was it always there? Did you perhaps one day go to a doctor's visit and they injected you and decided, I also want to go? So tell us.
I'm going to give a very, what is this? Political answer.
Okay.
Okay, no, I'm actually going to tell the truth. My love for medicine was, it was not mine to begin with. I never woke up or grew up and just said, hey, I want to be like that guy. I want to be a medical doctor. It was very hot-spotted to me. Mm. It's people that saw something and then they just said, hey, Christoph, wow. You know that traditional setup where there's like some predetermined path for you.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh my God, they start now calling you Dr. Reddy and your head is just, guys, I don't even want to get into that. Uh-huh. But over time you grow into it. I mean, if she's saying it and he's saying it and the next person is saying it and now you are in high school and people are still doctor or so, it becomes something that you now also start looking into and you're like, oh, I might actually just venture into this. I mean, I think I can and I think I will love it. So up to like grade 10, I was not sure of what I wanted to be. Of course, it was still there. The prospects of being a medical doctor was still there. But I don't think I was certain just yet that this is actually the path I wanted to take. And then I did my research. I had more conversations. I spoke more on it. I went out there. I went out in the field to actually just also get some experience and see, is this something I'm able to do 6 years, 12 years, 40 years from now and still be in that space and love it? And I found myself not hating it. I found myself actually, you know, taking in everything that was said, everything that I've experienced, everything that I've researched on and said, you know what? I'm going to be a medical doctor. I'm going to do medicine. I'm going to pursue this. And I am.
You know what? I think it's not many people that take the path that you took. Mm-hmm. You know, I think there's a conversation that I once had right here to say, not conversation, man, a discussion I had right here to say, you know what? We fail because we lack to ask for counseling or for advice. You know, you have 10, 15 people telling you that happy, you're very good at speaking. I think you should venture into media studies. Mm-hmm. And then happy will be like, media studies? No, I'm going to try out microbiology.
Right. Mm.
I'm going to try out some other thing. And then it takes you about another journey, maybe even a decade, to finally figure out that, you know what, I might actually do good in media, you know? And then, yeah, so really, it's not a lot of people that take that bold move to say, you know, they are seeing something in you. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad you did that. Yeah, I'm really glad you did.
My passions are still there, though. There are still so many things I want to do.
Yeah, which you still can do.
Mm-hmm. And I will.
Yeah.
But I'm really glad and I'm grateful to be afforded the opportunity really to do something so, how do I say? So it's such an intimate course.
Mm.
It's such a, like everything else, very, very important. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it and I'm grateful to be in a space that allows me to do just that for other people also. So whoever whispered in my ear however many years ago and said, hey, doctor this or become a doctor, even when I didn't believe in myself to becoming just that or to getting in such a field, I'm really, really happy that they did.
Mm.
Even all those times I said, guys, no, I want to do something else. And they still did it. I'm happy that they pushed me to being where I am right now.
Nice. Yeah. If you were to specialize, what would you want to specialize in? And on top of that, what is your current favorite, pardon me for lack of better word, current favorite maybe module or department? Are you the type, the doctor that wants to work with pediatricians? Are you probably looking into gynecologists? Are you, which
one? I really just hope my classmates are not listening right now. It would be a shock to everyone. Right.
Yeah.
I'm still in my fourth year. Okay. Uh-huh. Let's just also just get that out of the way. It's only in third year where you
fourth
start.
Fourth year now.
Fourth
we're
year
in,
now.
We're in November.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Anywho. Uh-huh. So it's only in third year, the second half of third year actually, where you start, being clinical. There's that transition between mm-hmm. your preclinical to the clinical.
Okay.
In the clinical setting, you now start working with patients. You're trying to marry your theory with, what is this? With now the practical, the practicality of it.
Yeah.
Only then do people start to actually rotate in the various departments that are available to rotate in. Your surgical subspecialties, your, gynecology, what is this? Pediatrics, internal medicine, all of those things, right? And there's so much to grasp, so much to learn and grow from, as you rotate from each and every one of us. So your first rotation is surgery and you're like, oh my God, I love it so much. I want to be a surgeon one day. And then you rotate into internal medicine and you're like, no, surgery can sit down for this one. I want to do and I want to venture into this one instead.
Or emergency medicine.
So it's, you're never really, or at least for me that is, I was never really certain as to what exactly it is I want to do because there was still so much I was picking up from each and every one of these departments. Come fourth year, I'm rotating in the very same, departments again, and I'm picking up other interests as well that I like within the specific departments. And so it's been a lot of maybe this, maybe that, maybe this. But I will say that medicine itself is beautiful. Internal medicine, that is. It's very complex because it works with almost everything.
What is internal medicine? Explain it.
So it's actually, before I do that, what's your take on what do you think internal medicine is?
You know what? I'm thinking something internal organs.
Sure.
Like, can I please be honest? Dealing with internal bleeding stuff. Okay, tell us.
No, but you're not wrong. Okay. It's very much internal organs.
Like intestines.
So it's,
oh, okay.
It's, there's a line between surgery and internal medicine. Okay.
Oh.
And most times here and there, people mess the two up. But internal medicine is all your chronic conditions. It's your acute conditions here and there. Anything really that is medical, but.
Okay. You know what? You'll tell us after the commercial break.
Okay.
Cool.
If you've reached that stage in life where you are tired of everything, where each day is just routine, dah, yammer me oh. No, seriously, I am genuinely sorry for you, cause you clearly haven't been polanified. Like, boring day at the spani. Polanify your lunch hour with a delicious Polana curry. Chewing through yet another stale sandwich. Polanify your burger with a little mac and cheese. Tired of chewing the same shandy? Polanify your munchies with air-fried Polana pasta chips. Come on, life's too short for boring. Polanify every moment with Pasta Polana, a proud product of Namib Mills.
We are back, and I'm joined in studio by Christophe Ndengu. Christophe, you were busy telling us what internal medicine is all about. I mean, educate us so that when we're having conversations out there in the street, we know what we are talking about.
Where was I? So it's really just your, what is this? Your, all this, all any condition really that you can think of that is not surgical or does not, some of them do warrant surgery, yes.
Yeah.
But it's all your kidney conditions, your liver conditions, it's your heart conditions, it's all of those things pretty much. I actually don't know how to properly define this. Huh?
Don't worry. Now you know.
I'll look it up. But yeah, that's internal medicine really. It's just a blend of every condition you could possibly think of. Mm. Like from hypertension to chronic liver disease, it's all of that.
I think if I was a medical doctor and I have to go and specialize, I'll specialize in emergency medicine.
Why is that? Fascinating, huh?
You know, it's really, you know, I don't know. It's just,
you need to be able to handle, you need to be able to handle what is this? Adrenaline rushes when you work in such a department because it's very fast paced. It's very unexpected.
Yeah. Anything can happen at any given moment.
Can happen. Like you're stabilizing a patient and anything can just go wrong in the very same moment. So it's hectic, but
fun. Sure. Especially when maybe you're resuscitating a patient and then boom, they come back to life and you feel like the hero.
You watch way too many medical shows. What resuscitation things are you seeing? What are you doing with your hands?
Give.
There is no way.
Do some CPR there, you know? Anyway.
Mm.
Okay, cool. That aside, talking about your career, your love for being, for medicine and obviously adventuring into this. Now let's talk about your passion for other things, especially, having to, you know, get involved in humanitarian activities, somewhat like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let's talk about that. Where do you see yourself in the future in terms of contributing to things that are happening, whether in our country, outside, I don't know. Where do you see yourself? Because I do not see yourself just going to the hospital as a doctor, dealing with it. I don't, to be honest.
Well, weirdly, that is... I'm going to, of course, use the platforms that I have.
Yeah.
Right? There are so many things that I'm passionate about. And number one, maybe it's because now it's inherent because I'm in the field.
Mm-hmm.
Access to equitable quality healthcare. I think that is something that now speaks so much to me and what it is that I want to do and what it is and how I want to contribute to society.
Yeah.
Earlier on, you had asked me, what I would want to specialize in or what field of medicine I'd want to go in. Right now, as you speak, yes, here and there, the different rotations I'm in and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But in the long run, I really want to do, family medicine, public health,
nice,
all of those things because they speak so much to, what we are trying to do as a country, where we are trying to go as a country. And also just global plans and global ambitions when it comes to health,
okay,
right? We want to have accessible quality healthcare. And that for me means that it's so multifaceted that we are now talking about preventative medicine instead of having to wait for a patient to come to the hospital already sick, already terminal in order for you to make an intervention.
Mm-hmm.
What that means now is going out in the community, it means the necessary interventions such as educating, such as anything really that puts you in a position to prevent instead of cure. I know it's cringe now and it's a cliche to say prevention is what it's
better than cure.
It's better than cure, but it's really not that. Prevention really, really is better than cure.
Mm-hmm.
It's financially way better.
Yeah.
It's way better in terms of the medical strain on the patient themselves, on the hospital staff. It's really just best. So if I'm able to talk to you now and say, hey, lost thy truth, as Nanso is now advocating right now, stop vaping, you know, this is what it does to you. In of course, we're not going to save the whole 100%, but of the 100, at least the 60 are going to say, you know what, I'm going to listen and I'm going to stop the truth, for example.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry, colleagues out there, that I'm using this example. but yeah, it's it's something I want to venture into. It's something I really want to do. So mm-hmm. when you ask me now what it is that I hope to contribute in the long run, in the short run, to community, to the community of health in particular, it's that to advocate for preventative medicine, to advocate for making sure that, you know, sustainable developmental goals, first of all, that are aligned with health, that mm-hmm. are mm-hmm. that speak directly to what we want to do as doctors, as health practitioners, where we want to see health of our people.
Yeah.
That, then that's what I'm going to advocate for. And I can't wait to be in spaces that allow me to do that.
Nice. In other words, you want to educate the public so they can make well-informed decisions.
On their health.
On their health. And you're doing, about to do just that now. We're just warming up.
We're just warming up.
Exactly.
Guys, watch this.
But anyway, yeah. Let's pause here now for a commercial break, but we'll be back. Commercial break and musical break. We'll be back to get into this conversation. Please stay tuned. This is Life Lessons.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Ipurane ngelo wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe utete okoye ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuala. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune uto otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onore za tuimwe mbali heali nola natu heali mbali no heali. Ile kumberewa, mura hetatu natu, bali o hetatu watatu, o mafelane, Eagle FM, the eye.
I'll smile, I know what it takes to fool this town. I'll do it till the sun goes down and all through the night time. Oh yeah, oh yeah. I'll tell you what you wanna hear. Keep my sunglasses on while I shed a tear. It's never the right time. Yeah, yeah. I'm moving.
Welcome back. You are tuned into Live Lessons. Now, of course, joining me in studio right now is Christoph Ndengu. Christoph, thank you so much for making time. Studios, right?
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me, Juju.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's talk about Movember. Mm. What is Movember?
So, Movember, first of all, it's global. It's not just something Namibians or Africans are celebrating. Mm-hmm. It's a global project, really, that has aimed to really speaking on matters affecting the boy child, matters affecting the men, the males in our societies. The question that is usually asked is why exactly Movember as opposed to the traditional November, the known November?
Yeah.
What does the Mo signify exactly? Mm. So the whole idea behind it was to say, let us grow a mustache, during the month of November.
Yeah.
And taking the very first two letters of the word, the MO, let's name the month Movember instead of November. Mm-hmm. As is the case with, what is this, Breast Cancer Awareness Month. We know that the color is pink, mm-hmm. so they named it Pinktober instead of the normal October.
Yeah.
So it's the very same principle again, to really just say it's a month that is aimed at celebrating the males. It's a month that is aimed at making sure that we amplify the voices and the concerns and everything really surrounding males right now. And it has, what is it? It has three very specific pillars, especially this year. It's speaking on mental health, number one, male mental health. It's speaking on prostate cancer. And it also, the thread also now includes testicular cancer. So mm-hmm. it's the two cancers yeah. and mental health. Mm-hmm. That we are really, really trying to amplify this year, or have been actually over the past few. Mm-hmm.
Mm. Okay, where are we in Namibia in terms of Movember? Is it something that we're really putting in the work to raise awareness and educate men themselves and women also about the mm-hmm. issues that affect men?
I think for me, I've not been an active participant like that, so I can't necessarily say we are doing better than we did last year yeah. or I don't have grounds to compare. Mm. But what I'm seeing this year is I think we really do have a standing when it comes to recognizing this month. We are doing something as a country. There are so many projects that are actually running right now. Here and there are clinics, private clinics actually, that are offering free, what is this, prostate cancer screening, for example. Mm. We have companies and private companies and even state-owned enterprises, all of these things, people are really coming together and speaking on the month. I see just this afternoon, there's a project right now that is running on tell a man to move or tell a man to do what, to make, mm-hmm. to make an exercise, something like that. It's, oh. So there's a lot that we are doing. Of course, it's not always out there for the people to see. I think what we are lacking in now is marketing. Not every guy out there actually knows that there's a month right now that is dedicated to celebrating them, to understanding where it is that they stand with their health and all of this. So marketing is also an issue that we are currently facing when it comes to that. Even with all these projects that are running, we want to say have 50 males come for a prostate cancer screening, but only 20 show up because only 20 have access to that information. Only 20 are able, not even just access to the information, only 20 are able to actually make their way to this clinic, to this practice. And again, pushing back to what it is that I want to do. Nay, it's going into the community itself, going to those those disadvantaged communities, because we know that the information will not reach them as well as how it would reach Christoph in his school of medicine. And we preach the same thing to the very same people over and over again without sensitizing the other part of the demographic you check. So Christoph is being told every year, every month that, oh, go for prostate cancer screening and all of this. But even when a month is specifically dedicated to just that, I fear that only the very same people we've been echoing this message to the whole time are still the ones that are at the forefront of receiving this very information. So unfortunately that's where we stand. We are doing well, because projects are running. I just hope that, or I just wish that we invested more in making sure that these projects are bigger successes, the way we want them to actually run and to see them grow, really. But yeah, I think I'm happy. And people are actually becoming very accommodative to these conversations. So
now, one thing about radio,
it reached the masses. Or the masses. So even those that are at the village right now and listening. So while we are at that, let me ask this question. Christoph, what is prostate cancer for that person in the village who really doesn't understand the terminology?
So the male system, the male genitalia, has so much more than just what we know. we have a prostate gland.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't want to be very technical with my terms, medical jargon and stuff, mm-hmm. but there's an organ, a prostate gland, that is specific or unique only to the male anatomy. This very gland is responsible for a specific, what is this? It has a functional role in the body, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
And over time, just like any cancer or whatever it is, really, it can overgrow. We can have malignant cells that really just stem off from there, or it grows into some form of malignancy. You know, this uncontrolled cells just keep growing, and they're not growing at the normal pace, at the regular pace that we know them to. And not only are they growing very fast and rapidly, they grow so much so that they become what word can I possibly use? Rotten mm-hmm. cells. I don't know how to put it. And then they rot the organ. Okay. And then they ease. And so the cancer then starts. Now.
And spreads.
And the cancer then starts in that specific organ to cause very specific symptoms. For example, like I said, the prostate is responsible for certain things in the body. So mm-hmm. when that cancer starts, of course, if you now have a lot of cells of that specific organ, then it means that the activity of that organ will be exaggerated, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Now with prostate cancer, we know that it has how do I put it? The diagnosis of prostate cancer is usually made on the PSA level, the prostate specific antigen, and this one is usually elevated in the presence of prostate cancer, because mm-hmm. like I said, there are so many cells mm-hmm. and so many cells that are producing that very thing.
Mm-hmm.
So prostate cancer, one, is just for the males. as with testicular cancer, I think that one is better known.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it really usually affects males that are older.
Mm.
We are thinking 45, even 50 years of age.
Yeah.
So it's very advisable that we reach out to our uncles that are approaching that age or that are within that age bracket to start doing their routine screenings and all of these things. I mean, of course, Christoph, who's 22, it's not foreign.
Mm-hmm.
To him that it can happen, but it's, the odds are so low. Mm-hmm. So when we speak prostate cancer, we really are talking about, the 45-year-olds, the 60-year-olds, mm-hmm. the 50-year-olds, that part of the male population. Mm-hmm. And those are the people that we really need to start reaching out more. And like I said initially, all those projects that are right now aimed at making sure that we put the message out, they get the males to be screened. They usually have an age to say that, no, we are doing this for males that are from this age, for example, because they know that the chances are more
higher.
Likely.
Mm-hmm.
They are much higher for them to have this malignancy as opposed mm-hmm. to those that are younger.
Mm-hmm.
What else is there to prostate cancer? It can be treated. There are treatment options for prostate cancer. One, of course, again, if I, the organ in itself, right? Mm-hmm. It's the one that has the malignancy. The organ could be removed. We can, the prostate itself can be removed. We can give radiotherapy, chemotherapy, mm-hmm. all those things really, but, more than that, there are also palliative care. Yes, mm. that can be done for people that have prostate cancer. Of course, if we are now saying that this prostate is responsible for producing certain hormones, for example, certain androgens, then we know that a special care for these people or medication should now be, because now the thing with health or medicine in itself is mm-hmm. just to counter whatever is wrong in the body.
Mm.
If we pick up that you have too much of this one,
yeah.
then any medical intervention would be trying to do what?
To lower that
specific thing. As is the case with any medication or any form of treatment, chemo, radio, that is directed to prostate cancer, it's really just trying to lessen all these exaggerated functions of the prostate.
Mm-hmm.
That pretty much is prostate. There's so much about prostate and there's so much that we need to know and so much that is out there for us to know.
Mm-hmm.
Even earlier this year, the School of Medicine hosted, in collaboration with so many other bodies, international bodies, mm-hmm. the Prostate Cancer Summit. It was a summit mm-hmm. that invited Namibia and so many other countries to really just speak and deliberate upon prostate cancer. I think it was a week-long summit at the HGC, the Hage Geingob campus.
I didn't know about it. You didn't tell me about it.
I'm so sorry. My sincerest.
Okay.
So it was really just that, because prostate cancer, unfortunately, really, really is one of the most leading causes of cancer in the male population.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
So much research is going into it right now. Research in terms of how to properly diagnose it on time. Research on how, okay, if early detection failed, how then do I treat a prostate cancer patient to making sure that they have the most desirable outcomes. So much research is being done. And now that summit really just came to amplify what is actually happening and call others to action to say, let us do more, because more can be done.
More can be done.
So yeah, that's prostate cancer, really. Mm-hmm.
Interesting, man. But you know what? We let's not shy away from the truth of men. A lot of men don't really want to go mm-hmm. to the clinic. Talk about less about somebody having to touch them and assist them and stuff like that. How do you think perhaps we can go about trying to break that stigma, you know, trying to really convince them to say, this is for your good. It's best. It's better that you are treated earlier. And, and I put emphasis on prevention is better than cure. As much as we speak about it, it has become a cliche. It really is, you know, a thing. So how do we then convince them or just, you know, educate them or inform them to get treated way earlier opposed to them coming in the very last stage?
We need to sensitize. Yeah. That's the first thing. We need to let people know. We need to educate. I mean, speaking to someone does so much. There's so much that goes in with just sharing information. So sensitizing our people, sensitizing our brothers, our uncles on what exactly cancer is, who's at risk of cancer, what cancer does and what's available for treatment or, really just how to go about cancer, from making sure that you are treated, you are screened early on. Okay. You are screened and now apparently, fortunately, you have the cancer. What's available for treatment? This treatment is failing. What more can you do? So just making sure that we build a community where we're able to openly engage and talk about cancers in general, not just prostate cancer and not just testicular cancer. I'm not talking about the whole triad, mental health, prostate cancer, testicular cancer. The male or the boy child in Namibia and across the world actually needs to learn that, the same way we can speak about sports and we can make plans, or we can talk about, oh, when are we going to the loft and all of these things, as the very same way in which we are supposed to table these issues, openly just talk about them, laugh about them even.
Let's pause here now, take a trip to the marketplace, but we'll be back shortly. Stay tuned. This is Life Lessons.
Democracy thrives through participation, and we all want a thriving democracy, don't we? Let's all contribute to a thriving democracy by being active participants and voting in the upcoming regional council and local authority elections on 26 November 2025. Let's play our part. Get involved. Put your voice in the box.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
And it is exactly 1 minute past the hour of 8 on this very beautiful Saturday afternoon. You are listening to, what is this?
Life Lessons.
Life Lessons. Life Lessons with Juju Ndafa. I am Christoph and I am with you in studio as your guest this evening. Oh, on your favorite radio channel. This is Eagle FM, the eye.
Christoph, I told you. You have it in you. You know what? When I'm going on leave, can you come and stand in for me?
So believe.
I'll speak to my supervisor.
If my dean allows it.
Yeah. Anyway. Okay. So, but then again, you want to be taking a break from your many, many books.
That's a belief, guys. I can't think of doing anything else when I'm supposed to be resting.
Yeah, I mean, I can only imagine when, you become an intern doctor. They call it year of residence, ne? Or your year of residence. How many years? 2 years.
It's 2 years of internship. We actually don't call it residency in Namibia. Yeah, ne? It's 2 years of internship. Okay. So I've seen my interns, guys. Sure.
All the best. No, but wait, it's 6 years of school, 2 years of internship. In other words, it's actually 8 years to become a medical doctor.
Technically it's 8 years, but you're a medical doctor right after graduation.
Yeah, but still that work that goes into it. Sure. But yeah, it's necessary.
Can we not talk about it? Because yeah, sure, okay. Guys, mm-hmm. It's making me count.
But right after that, it's all worth it.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes, at least.
You know, I'm coming from the Namibia, the 2025 Namibia Health Exhibition. Christoph, this is the third year of the health exhibition right here in Namibia.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, let me hear from you. What's your take on this? Why do you think such events are very necessary? For me, I think they are very important. You know how we will talk about, you know, we will have conferences to talk about oil and gas, to talk about mining, to talk about agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
But hardly conferences that really just cater to health-related matters. And health is a concern to everyone, you know? Every one of us, when we're talking about health, we're talking about everyone, regardless of whether you are the minister, you are the president, and all that. So what do you think about the health exhibition?
The health exhibition, I couldn't be more proud of the people behind the whole idea, first of all. Because the thought in itself to say let's gather the medicos, the medical professionals, or anything really that is affiliated to medicine, to healthcare in this country. Let us bring these people together and let's see what we can make out of it. I think it's a very important platform, not just for the medical or the people that are in the medical space, but I love that it's open to the public.
Yeah.
I love that anyone from any walk of life, whether it is that you are in finance or you are in the creative industry, you are an engineer in the STEM, you are able to attend, you are allowed, you are encouraged to attend, because again, there's just so much you can learn. Everyone's wealth is their health, first of all. So if we create platforms that allow people to really just spend that much time talking about everything and anything health, beautiful.
Yeah.
The exhibition, again, it's an exhibition. There are really just so many styles to go around, to check here and there, and people are now showing the latest medications they have. There are pharmacy stands. There are stands from different practices, and people are marketing their businesses.
Yeah.
People are, we even have banks. Banks such as
FNB sponsored it.
FNB, a sponsor even. So it's beautiful to see that we have non-medicine, non-medical that is coming on board to support such an initiative. It goes a long way to say that it's a shared journey.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that should only be done by the people within the industry,
mm-hmm.
but really everyone that is able to should take an active role and really just be a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
The exhibition is, it's beautiful. You get to learn so much from industry professionals, because it invites so much. And of course, this year, the patron, herself is our beautiful first lady, Her Excellency, Dr. Netumbo. She's the patron. However, I don't think that she was able to attend.
No, she wasn't, but, she delegated the Minister of Health.
Of Health, yes. Honorable.
Esperanza.
Yes.
I love calling her doctor. I don't know why. I'm not taking away from the title of honorable, but I think I just appreciate, you know, Dr.
Esperanza
Luvinda.
You
do, ne?
Yeah. So yeah, Honorable Dr. Luvindao. And of course, so many other big names in the health industry. So many doctors, consultants,
pharmacists.
Oh, there's just so much. And again, like I said, medicine is multifaceted. It's not just the medical aspect of it. A medical doctor should be able to get into conversation or a relationship should be forged between them and a pharmacist.
Yes.
As is the case with allied health specialists, an OT, a PT. We need to have proper, what is this, referral systems, for example. I need to make a call quickly and I'm able to get an answer from the next person, even if it's not my, from the same circle of of what is this?
Or from the same line of work.
Line of work. And again, the exhibition caters for just that. You'll see that we are breaking so many silos.
Yes.
A medical doctor is talking to a dentist, and then there's an OT here, an occupational therapist. And they are laughing, they're engaging in conversation, they are able to come together and really just tackle that one patient, because it should be multidisciplinary. And the exhibition, it does that.
Regardless,
and I think it's my favorite thing about it. It just brings together.
And regardless whether they're from the private sector or from the public space, you know, just coming together to really talk about certain issues. And the one thing I do appreciate is that they're identifying, obviously, when you have been a medical practitioner at a particular hospital, whether public or private, you tend to see some things that perhaps need to be improved. If we could do the system like this, it will help better serve, it will help us better serve our people. So really, it's just a moment for them to actually talk about things that they need to be implemented, need to be, you know. And I think it's now that I did appreciate it before, but it's now that I appreciate the fact that we have a health minister who is a doctor by profession, you know. It's because when you have somebody who has been in the system, they understand the system better. They know where the system is a little bit cracked, where they need to fix those cracks. And now them having to sit on the table with the policymakers, you know, themselves, they are able to say, you know what? This is what doctors go through. This is what interns go through. This is what nurses. Perhaps if we are going to reform the policy or whatever, let's look at it from this angle. I don't know. I really see it that way.
Same here. I think the government, our government, the government of the Republic of Namibia does really well when it puts, when it chooses who to, what
lead
is
what?
This, to lead in certain spaces. Of course, our doctors over the years, I mean, our ministers, that is, there have been doctors, Dr. Kalumbi, so they actually are
yeah, but I don't know it. Why is it because she's female that now, never mind. But then again, for them, I'm not taken away from it.
No, but I understand, yes.
Yeah.
Like, with Dr. Luvindao, she has
recent experience. And I think the fact that she studied right here at UNAM makes it
actually,
more.
She actually did. She studied here at UNAM. She did her internship at UNAM. She started working here in Namibia. So she's like a really good, well-rounded package when it comes to what healthcare in Namibia is.
Yeah.
What those people go through. What policies need shifting. So she's well versed in the position that she is right now, because she's able to really, really speak from experience on how to cater or how to go about certain things.
Yeah.
I think that also is my favorite thing about her, that she's relatable. She's a face that we've seen in the wards. She's someone that we know. So it makes of her office easier for her, really, as was the case with her predecessors, that is. So I think healthcare in Namibia should really be applauded and given the the flowers they deserve. Of course, here and there, there are certain things that need a serious intervention
and
work and here and there. But certain things I always like to say should not take away from others. Just because we are leaking from this end does not mean that well, beautiful, airtight end is not to be celebrated. You check. So, we are doing significantly well when it comes to health in Namibia, and it's a ministry that is very well versed with the struggles of its people, and they know exactly what to do in order to cater for the very troubles and the very concerns of their people. And of course, our minister is doing really well. She's attending almost every health summit, even the prostate one that we recently had. She was also a speaker at just that. So we are seeing that there's so much participation and so much keenness from their end to help, to uplift
so anything. Much involvement.
So much involvement, anything really that has to do with health. Yeah.
You know what? Let's put emphasis on that our government is really doing a lot in terms of health. Mm-hmm. You know, it's easy to cry, to complain when you, have not been in another place where it's worse. Mm. And then you make comparison. But honestly, Namibia's government is doing quite much in terms of our health sector or our health ministry. Because, you know, when you go to the hospital, for instance, and you pay, 15 Namibian dollars, and that includes your syringes that they're gonna use on you, Vacoliter. Mm-hmm. I know a little bit about her.
Actually
short, hey? So yeah. And then your needle and stuff, all that included in that $15 that you're paying.
It's way more than that. It's your blood.
Yeah.
To the labs.
That need to go to NIP, somebody transport, bring back and whatnot.
And now this patient is admitted into the hospital. So now these people eat. It's a proper meal.
They sleep on a bed.
Proper meals every day or sleeping on bed. So it's really something we should,
be appreciative of.
Be appreciative of. I mean, yes. It is our government. It is supposed to cater and all of this.
Mm.
But where flowers are due, colleagues, let's pick them and give them.
Although when you're in the hospital, especially Kaptura Hospital, you know, there was the time I was in the hospital. My daughter had a fracture. Mm. And so we were admitted. Yo, I couldn't bear the bathroom. I have to be honest, yo. From what I hear, there's been improvement in cleaning aspects and stuff. But...
Mm.
Mm-mm. We can really do much better in that aspect. But I think, I would say, they're doing really. And of course, yes, there's room for improvement. But when you look at other countries, I don't know about South Africa's health system itself, but look at our neighboring Angola. They have to come to Namibia to get treatment, especially at Angela Hospital and stuff like that. You know, if there's anything that I would really appreciate and love is that, every medical doctor, every nurse, every pharmacist, every whosoever person who has certain beautiful ideas that they think should be implemented, you know, they will be given a voice. You understand? Mm-hmm. And not just a voice to speak about their beautiful ideas, but that they'll be implemented. Because those are the people who understand where reforms have to be done.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, it's that. I love where we are right now and where we are headed.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many policies that are being reformed, that are being shifted, so many things that are happening right now for the betterment of the whole ministry as a whole, and really just to serve the constituents of this republic when it comes to health. Just going back to what is this theme, exhibition. It's platforms like this, really. Now, again, let me just marry them with Movember. It's really platforms like this that advocate for things like this. Of course, again, Movember is not, advocating for mental health, advocating for early screening and detection and all these things. These are not things that should only happen in November, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But throughout, even in July, we can put on our blue ribbons and really just say, let's get you checked. Let's engage in conversation with our uncles and our brothers. But Movember is supposed to amplify that. It's supposed to help us do just that.
Mm.
And I'm glad that such a summit, such an exhibition is also happening in like a health centered month where we are really, yes, where we are really able to.
Where the medical people are already sensitized.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So people are already talking about prostate cancer here and there. And now they hear that there's an exhibition. And of course, at this exhibition, prostate cancer will come up twice or thrice in conversation. So it really allows room for people to engage more, mm-hmm. to be a part more. And I'm glad that it's happening in November,
yeah.
when we are speaking about things already in the lines, mm-hmm. of health.
Yeah. You know what? Let's pause here and take a trip to the marketplace. Of course, also a musical break, and then we'll be back. Now, when we do return, I will open the studio line so that you can come through, make a call, share opinions or contributions, or ask Christopher some questions.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who doesn't have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
The eye.
Until you stop breathing, till you stop bleeding, until your heart stops kick drum beating. When it's hard times, when it's long days, and the enemy is right up in your face. When your back's against the ropes, and you're feeling all alone. Keep fighting the good fight. Keep letting your light shine. 'Cause I'm never gonna leave you, always gonna see you through to the other side. Keep fighting the good, fighting the good, fighting the good fight, good fight. Even in the roadblocks, even through the rough spots, when you're feeling you're giving all that you got, I'm with you in the next step, giving you the next breath. I'll be the voice saying you're gonna make it. When you're out there on your own, you are never alone. Keep fighting the good.
Welcome back. We are back in studio. We are still here. in other words, we are just back on air, Christoph. Our studio line is open. 083-288-401 is the number in studio. Like I promised, our studio line is open. You can all come through. Air opinions and contributions right here on Life Lessons. Now, Christoph, of course, Movember also entails mental health and especially centered around men. You know, it's quite interesting that the highest percentage of the gender that commits suicide goes to the male aspect, goes to the male counterpart. And I think for one of the major reasons why this is so is that men are not very open people. They don't really want to speak out and speak about these things. But you know, before you answer my question, Life Lessons, good evening.
Good evening, Madam Boss and Mr. Christopher. Did you say Christopher?
Yes, Christopher.
Yes, good evening, sir.
Yes, yes, good evening, sir.
Good evening, doctor.
I'm flattered. Well, not yet, but sure. Good evening.
Oh, that is a positive confession. The language and all these things that you are telling me, like a doctor.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm flattered.
Thank you very much. We are also grateful for the lesson that we are learning. More particular on the issue of, say, prostate cancer and many, many other issues around in that area. But my concern is on the issue of our gender. So it has been found out that, I don't know the statistics, that men do not really take issues of that nature seriously.
Yes.
And we are now bombarded by a lot of social problems. So even when you go, because my boss, who's a gender specialist, he always tell us whenever he's conducting sessions and things like that, that men are the issues that are affecting men, including this prostate cancer or sexually transmitted infection,
or
disease.
Right.
So we really need a lot of help because we don't even go for checkups, for
example. Yeah.
Exactly, yes.
If you move around that side of the jungle, that road that goes to Windhoek, when you have got the office there for cancer association. So you don't see men there standing in the line for it.
Actually, yes.
And even in many other issues, maybe family planning, I don't know whether the women, our counterparts, our partners are leaving us whenever they go for this family planning.
They don't accompany us, Uncle Buana. Even for, what do you call it? Antenatal care. When a woman is pregnant. You know what? That's what we must be telling them. Christoph, you're going to tell them after. They don't accompany us, Uncle Buana. Please tell them. You'll be carrying the pregnancy yourself, going for antenatal care, as if it doesn't take two people to actually make a baby. Why is that?
In terms of that, that's actually something released.
It's very pathetic because this, I don't know, maybe you feel that this one is relegated to women and things like that. Imagine, just to go. And even when this post and after, well, no, the one that, you know, that's maternity ward. So post is before, me.
Post is before, yes.
Just prenatal or whatever.
Yes.
You just mention it. So, and we don't go there.
It's true.
Even when it comes to HIV and all these things.
The counseling.
So men actually measure their standards or their status from women.
I hear.
So it's except because now women, you know, pregnant women, when it's compulsory, they have to be tested and things like that. And for men, when the person is tested, your partner is tested, your wife is. And that's when you now know, aha, this is my status. And again, it also brings some other
poetic kind of situation. So I think we need, just need to be made more aware.
Yes.
So that at least we can, from all these issues.
It's
and
true.
This is a serious issue. Mm. And we have got even more people who are more prominent coming to here, giving us some kind of model and motivation to go for this kind of checkup. So that at least to help us with our partner, with our wife, to give us some kind of easy management to, you know. But my fear is that we men do not go for this kind of test. Maybe it's that cultural and traditional harmful kind of practice.
Yeah.
Where we think that men, they don't feel like, we are not taking care of our head. We do not. Is that fear that, no, I'm just a man, even if you are there in pain, you know, not only because of psychological pain, but we do not want to come out. We seriously need help. Maybe we need to motivate ourselves as we are listening to Christopher, and then you coming up with this social lesson. And these are the issues that pertain to our life.
Mm-hmm.
Pertain to the issue that affects our life.
Mm-hmm.
Gender, honestly speaking, I don't know how to do it. So if the lesson is there, we are being educated, even by young ones like Juju there. But we are not taking this lesson seriously and appropriate them to our own life.
That's true.
So I think especially when it goes to family planning, we really need to accompany our partners. And the women, I challenge you, you must not leave us behind. Drag us and say, no, I cannot leave you, my sister.
You know what, Uncle Buana, let me make a confession. For my firstborn, I told the dad that I will not go for antenatal care if he is not coming. If he's not coming, then nothing. And you know, since it's your firstborn, the person wants the child to be very healthy and come out very healthy. So I stood my ground, but now with time, I accepted and I went. But yeah. Uncle Buana, thank you so much for making time for us.
Welcome, Mimi. God bless you, Mr. Christopher. Please keep on going by creating awareness. Help us. Sometimes go to the Minister of Gender, I say, you guys. So you are talking about your lesson from the gender perspective.
Right,
thank you very
much,
Dafa, for and Christopher for presenting that topic.
Thank you, Uncle Buana, and you're welcome.
Thank you so much, Uncle Buana, talking to us there now on so many things that the males are not taking part in, so many things that we should be taking we should be a part of, but we really just aren't. And now this includes so many things. And he spoke on so many things, actually. He spoke on, what is this, prostate cancer in itself, what we're just speaking on right now. He also made emphasis on things like family planning and making sure that the father figure is actually there also.
Present, for the whole accompany.
Yeah, the whole pregnancy period or process. But the thing with males is so much can be done. Yes, we can speak here and there and we can shout, but it stems from so much. And Uncle Buana also made mention of it to say that some of these things are cultural. Some of these things are beliefs that are instilled in us from a very young age to say that why are you doing what you are doing? Especially when it comes to the aspect of mental health. Why are you speaking up? Why are you a man that is feeling the way he is feeling? Why? All of those things. But really, as males, we have such a reluctancy to take charge of our health. And that is from all the spheres of health, whether it's mental, whether it's physical, whether it's emotional health. We really don't want to take charge. We don't want to have that forefront, charge when it comes to these aspects. And it's something that we should really, 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 change and take into better consideration to say, why exactly am I not?
Why am I lagging behind?
Why exactly? We have such an inertia to mental, to physical, to emotional health. We discard our health as if it's But have you seen a father with their daughter? It's oh my God, she does one little thing and he's all over the place and he's running and he's, oh my God, how do I? But it's seldom not the case for themselves.
Yeah. You know what? You know, sometimes men take care of everybody else.
Mm.
They take care of the wife, they take care of the children, but they don't take care of themselves.
It's those traditional norms. Mm. It's that notion that we have to say that I'm providing, I'm taking care of everyone else but me. It's
not knowing that them not taking care of themselves is actually not taking care of the rest of the people.
You think you ate
in the long term. In the long term. Why? Because at the end of the day, your health is going to deteriorate.
Mm.
You're probably going to be in hospital, you know, bedridden, or who never knows, perhaps you die.
Mm.
And then who's going to do the, who's going to do what you've been doing so good, what you've been so good at doing, taking care of the people.
Exactly,
so really, you taking care of yourself, you are indirectly taking care of the family.
It's true, hey? But I think my message right now to the males out there, when it comes to the screening of cancer, it's that 2 minutes of awkwardness, you know, that the screening is. But cancer is an awkwardness that is so long. It's longer than the 2 minutes. Cancer is bad. Sometimes it's lifelong. And it becomes so terminal. It's cancer is bad. It's not cute. At all. So if you are able to, not even if you are able to, please, as a brief, get screened. Early detection says so much and it saves so many lives. When it comes to mental health, be in a space that allows you to open up and speak about these things freely. Whatever it is that is, on your mind, whatever it is that is affecting you, know that you are protected or you're in an environment that is protected enough for you to air out these very things.
Yeah.
Speak to someone you trust. It doesn't have to be a therapist, for example. Just speak to your brother, speak to your wife, speak to your child. Speak to someone. There's so much that goes in speaking about something. And if you are at the receiving end, the listening end, in such a conversation, someone comes to you talking about these very things, you need to listen with an open mind. You need to listen to understand and not just to have a response as soon as the person is done talking. Because again, the Thomas that comes to you and speaks about their problem is not the same as the Aaron that is going to come to you and speak about their problems. So when you just have that, what is this rehearsed response, this robotic response, it doesn't cater for everyone specifically. So you need to listen with an open mind. You need to listen to understand where the specific person is coming from. You are able to better advise this person, not to ridicule them, not to laugh at them, not to make fun of them or to say their problems are less than or anything like that, because it takes so much, not just as a male, it takes so much for someone, anyone at all, to walk up to you and air their feelings, their grievances, their whatever it is that they are going through to you. So if you have been nominated, have been chosen, selected by that specific person to really say, this is my safe space, please make them feel like they've made the right choice. They've made the right decision coming to you. Mm-hmm. And if you are not in a space that allows you to help this person, direct them. Mm-hmm. You need to be able to channel this person's feelings and emotions and problems as they've been given to you, and give them a sense of direction to say, this is where you can go. Unfortunately, I'm not capacitated enough to help you in this certain aspect, but hey, reach out to this person or talk to whoever or read up here and there. So you've not helped per se to say you've been an active force and you are there, you're holding their hair as they, you know, but you've directed, and indirectly you've really, really helped that person find a better grounding, better standing for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And again, when we speak about mental health and everything surrounding the boy child, it's not a fight that is for the boy child alone. It's not a fight that means that the males should come together and speak about something because it's happening to them. It's a shared journey at the end of the day. These fathers are heads of families, and they are family figures. They are fathers that don't have a male figure, a male presence in their lives. So if females, our mothers, our ancestors, cousins, female cousins, let us also just be a presence in the lives of a male that is in our lives. Ask them here and there, Christoph, how are you? How are you feeling? Mm-hmm. Are you okay? How are you really?
Yeah.
Like, invite room for conversation, deep, meaningful conversation.
Mm. You know, I've come to realize that, you know, us women, we do all the talking and don't allow the men to do their talking. No, really, I think, do you think perhaps we have our part to play in the way men are sometimes, not opening up and also committing suicide and, you know, going into very harmful activities? Do we perhaps have some sort of hand in some of these things, you know? And I ask this because you have people who are living with their partners and they are suffering at the hands of their female partners.
Mm-hmm.
Something that is not really spoken about. And because sometimes the men will say, they won't believe me. I think I have heard of a story where a man went to the police station to report that his wife is abusing him or beating him.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how true that is. And apparently they laughed it off. Like, how do you allow that? But the moment where he actually starts retaliating, or actually, you know, then he gets locked up because then she speaks and says he's abusing me. So are we perhaps contributing to this?
There is, like, to a certain extent, yes, but it wouldn't be fair to say or to pin it on their female counterparts also. Sure, you can propagate, even not just propagate, you can start something as a female, something that leads to this male, you know, having these thoughts or wanting to do certain things or feeling the way they are feeling. Of course, yes. And you can, sometimes you are not the one that started it. You just propagated. The person is already stressed, maybe here and there. And then there's an abusive wife at home.
Yeah.
Or sometimes you don't propagate, but then you don't help when you're in a position to. Now this man comes to you. Sometimes they don't even have to come to you. You live in a shared space. And you notice that this guy is, he's not himself. Christoph is just not himself, but Juju walks it off. She just walks away.
Yeah.
She doesn't make an attempt to listen to hear him out. And of course, Christoph will not always scream and say, and sit Juju down and say, hey, I'm not okay. I'm not feeling this and this.
It's not really a main type of thing to do that.
Most times we need to learn how to, again, I'm not going to say women are, they have a role to play. Just to answer your question, yes, there's a role to play, but then it's not a gender thing. It's not, these things can come from anywhere, really. Sure, a certain percent is that in stuff, but there's so much more that is undiscovered, first of all, because again, these people don't speak up. So it's really very difficult to find out what exactly it is that is propagating all those things.
Yeah.
But as females, it's very important to know how to meet men where they are.
Mm-hmm.
You now understand that your husband, your boyfriend, your friend, your cousin is not really one to speak up, but you've been noticing that they are not acting like themselves.
Yeah.
But you don't take up initiative and really just ask, are you okay? How can I help? What's going on here? So that's where I feel like we need to be met. Because now, even when I just come to you and I laugh about something, I'll not say it explicitly.
Yeah.
I'll probably say it as a joke. I'll say it as I think it's time we really start to understand. Nay, because for the longest time we've been trying to scream and say men should speak up, but sometimes they do speak up, just not in the traditional way we expect them to speak up. And we need to start meeting them exactly where they are.
Yeah.
Because that is as far as they can go.
We need to start meeting them exactly where they are. And earlier you spoke about, you know, men at the soccer field, And it's coming, it's something that I'm thinking of to say, maybe let's speak to them while they are going for, while at soccer practice, you know, let's get, somebody, maybe a social worker, a medical personnel to come and speak to them and say, you know what, have you got screened for prostate cancer, you know, testicular cancer? Let's talk about, encourage them to say, you should go and accompany your wife or your partner for antenatal care, stuff like that, you know? Maybe let's talk about those things, meet them where they are.
Yeah, meet, like, it's very important to understand the type of people that you are dealing with, who they are, first of all. If it's the male demographic, if it's the male population, you know that they are most likely going to be where? At Chula Chula Mech. So how are you going to advocate for whatever it is that you want out there? You know where to meet them. So that's where you take the information. Because if you say, I'm going to have a prostate cancer summit, two people will come out. Even right now, when we're talking about prostate cancer, maybe only four of the 4,000 that are listening are male. So it's really, really a thing of understanding who you are and how to reach them where they are. If it's, what other classic examples can I give? The soccer match, for example, like you said, if the betting shops, I mean, you know, they could broadcast something, just a 2 minute snippet on getting screened, prostate cancer or mental health. And then it's back to the game. See, you've already spoken to three of the many that are in that room, you know, or so just whatever opportunity you have and you have the attention of those people, speak to them. Advocate for these things. Not everyone will listen, yes, but someone will pick up something and it's going to save their life.
You know what? It's just dawning on me that, wait, you are the SRC vice president at the UNAM Hagege
Gokile.
It's sinking properly. You don't, and it's, I'm realizing, wait, you don't just become the vice president. There's no way you just come from under your blanket.
I have an idea of where this is going.
I'm glad you do. So, tell us the story behind you becoming the vice president. And that says already, I'm not seeing your academic record, but it's like I'm seeing it.
So,
sorry, man.
I've been. Juju. But yes, on a lighter note, dear listeners, I've been very
active.
Very active, yes. Okay. In terms of student and youth leadership, I've been called so many names in the past. I've been a comrade. I am still a comrade. I've been called honorable. I've been called your worship. At that point, there are spaces that I really wanted to take up, because there are certain things I wanted to do with those certain spaces. I would like to say that I would like to think that I'm very intentional with the spaces that I occupy. So over the years, everything that I've really done, or every space, every leadership platform, or whatever really, I've had a reason as to why I wanted to enter that space. So again, with all those other things that I said, I've been called, there was something that called me to action. There was a specific element, a specific gap that I wanted to fill, something I wanted to advocate for. And so it was no different when I decided I wanted to be vice president.
Yeah.
There were certain things I wanted to do for my school. certain things that I was very passionate about, a certain level of leadership, one, and student representation that I wanted our campus to reach.
Mm.
And yes, there are people that are equally as capable and equipped and capacitated to do just that.
Yeah.
But I am as well. So why not me?
Yeah.
So I took it up, really. Mm-hmm. And I can say that I was able to reach the milestones that I've set for myself in office.
Yeah.
I was able to do the very same thing, the very things that I said I set out to do when I applied. Plus all the other adjuncts here and there on the side that were auxiliaries to my leadership here. But yeah, that was my journey really to, it's such a vague answer, yes,
mm-hmm.
but it was an intentional decision to do intentional change and to be in a space that really allows me to step into something I wanted to see.
Yeah.
And I wanted it to materialize.
Yeah.
And so I worked myself to making sure that I did just that. Mm. And
I worked myself to ensure I did just that.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Ne? Yeah. Really, because it's not a walk in the park.
It's not.
Especially. And
especially with this degree.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Why are you reading my mind?
especially with being a medical student.
Yeah.
It comes with so much sacrifice. It comes with so much
responsibility.
It comes with so much self-discipline. There are certain things that you need to put aside because you don't want any of them to starve.
Mm.
Getting into this VP leadership role, this position, I knew exactly what I was getting into because I knew the following year I would also be a grade higher, a year higher in my medical journey.
Mm-hmm.
But these are two things that I decided to take on at the same time. So now you need to speak on, you need to have a certain level of self-discipline that allows you to cater for the very same, for the two things that you've decided to take on without allowing one to starve for the other. Not being too much of a VP that you are not a student anymore, or being, of course, always strive to be a student,
yeah.
but also just making sure that you understand that first of all,
mm-hmm.
it's a position that you've prayed for.
Mm-hmm.
It's a position that no one really said, hey, Christoph, become VP tomorrow. It's something that you stepped into willingly, knowing exactly what it entails and what you also have on the side.
Mm-hmm.
So it's also something that needs, I mean, of course, school is up there,
yeah.
but that leadership role also needs you to take part and to really cement yourself in it because it's something that you've chosen to,
yes.
to undertake.
And at the end of the day, you want, when you've left and you're now a medical doctor, you want your colleagues to remember, this change came about because Christoph Ndengu, when he was the vice president, did this, you know?
Yes.
You want to be intentional with what you do, in other
exactly.
words.
Legacy, yes, here and there. But it's really not, it wasn't really a thing of legacy for me. I really just wanted to see that, oh, a certain change, certain aspect that has not been the case for some time.
Yeah.
It's now changed. Whether it was me that did it or the next VP or the one before me, knowing that it's a step in a direction I've always wanted to see the campus.
Yeah.
It's still something beautiful. If I am the one that ends up doing that, sure,
mm-hmm.
the legacy and the flaunt falls on my shoulders and I'm happy. But the whole purpose really is just to say it's done.
Yeah.
It's done. At the end of the day, the campus is happier.
Thank you. Yeah. You know what? Now, as we are coming to the closing of our wonderful conversation, I wouldn't want to let you go without say your words to that particular person who wants to get into medical school, because I know there are people out there who are praying to get into medical school and they've probably applied the second time, the third time, they're not successful. Yeah. Your words to them.
Three words.
Okay.
Do not do it.
Okay.
I'm lying, I'm joking.
Yeah.
Medicine is a calling. And you don't necessarily need to be grade 12 or whenever to realize that it's a calling. Sometimes people even realize their callings in the sixth year of medical school or in the fourth year that, oh, I'm actually called to do just this. But I think what I'm trying to get at this is to say that it's a space that needs you to want to be in.
Okay.
It's a space that really, really requires you to have like all of you in it, because you can have the grades, you can,
the grades that get you in,
you can have the support, the financial support and all of that. But if your heart is not there, if it's not something that you see yourself doing and it's just hot spotted, to say become a doctor, then it's going to be very miserable for you. And when it's miserable for you, it becomes miserable for the people that you're supposed to be serving. Becomes miserable for the ministry, it becomes miserable for everyone that is involved, and you really don't want that. Most people really say that getting in is the hardest part, but that's not the case. It's staying in the course that's the
hardest part.
That's the issue, yes. Because you are faced with so much, like I said, here and there, there's always something that is thrown to your face, at your face. It's how you now learn to duck when these things are thrown at you, or when to hold them and really, sit it down. It's those soft skills, those very interpersonal, personal skills that you pick up along the way.
That will keep you grounded.
That will keep you grounded and will keep you going. Yeah. So if you really are wanting to, get into medicine, get into this career, this path, you need to sit down with yourself and really ask, is this something I really want to do? Do I see myself serving these people long after I've graduated? Is it a space that I see myself in? Honestly, really just ask yourself that. Am I just doing it for the pecs of it? Or I have the grades, I'll be called doctor at the end of the day. I'll be the first family in the the first doctor in the family, or my mom really wants to see me become a family. Or there's money, guys, there's no money. I'm going to get money at the end of the day, check that I'm going to be proud of. I'm going to drive that car. Sure, everyone has their own motivation and everyone has their own. If that is yours, then stick to it. If it's able to get you through and it's able to make you the best doctor out there, then stick to that motivation.
Yeah.
But mine is to say that I need your heart to be in it, because you also need to have an experience, a university experience, a campus experience. These are also your 20s. So you also need to experience it. Now, if you just choose a course because, then you become such a,
medicine,
that you fail to live, and you really just, you make it you, because like your heart is not there first of all.
Yeah.
So you're just crying yourself to bed every night. Sure, you'll graduate, you'll do just that.
You'll get a
but
job.
You've lost out so much on yourself. And you did not get time to grow on your other skills and all of these things. So please be in it because you really, really want to be in it. Your heart has to be there. And if that's the case, you love the course. It's beautiful. The people that you, the reward also at the end of the day, you get to be in a space that helps, that cures, but most importantly, an advocate for prevention. So it's beautiful.
Yeah. You know what? It's been a pleasure having you in studio with me.
A pleasure was all mine.
But you're going to do the closing for us.
So, ladies and gentlemen, with only 5 minutes to the hour of 9 in the evening, this has been Life Lessons with Juju on Eagle FM. Please do make sure to tune in every time this airs, because remember, Eagle FM, the eye, brings you guests that are very well versed in all this topics of discussion on a daily. This has been Eagle FM, of course, with me in studio, Christoph Ndengu, doing the closing this evening. I don't think this has ever been done, Juju. But nonetheless, Thank you so much for having me. Jokes aside, thank you so much for having me, Juju. I'm honored, honestly.
I'm honored to have you. No, it hasn't been done, but you have set the trend. We shall be doing it now.
Lovely.
Yes. Thank you so much. Now from Indafa, happy Juju. I sign out. Goodbye. Tata. I'll see you again next time. Same time, same place, same radio frequency. Now, if you haven't already, make sure you download the Eagle FM app. And should you be interested in listening to this conversation again, head over to our podcast session and you will find it right there and you can enjoy it in the comfort of your home anytime, anywhere, from wherever. Goodbye. Have yourself a wonderful Saturday evening and a restful Sunday tomorrow. I'll see you again next time. Bye-bye.